So I understand at some point in the near future, we hope to be joined by Barbara Smith. Many people know Barbara as a former city council person in the city of Albany. She has been active over the years in the anti-apartheid movement, probably the first time which I met her. But the Poor People's Campaign is a modern revival of Martin Luther King's movement for economic justice, and it is holding an event in Troy called Women in Poverty, Women in Leadership. It will take place this Thursday, the 15th, at the First Presbyterian Church. So we are now joined by Barbara Smith to discuss this. So Barbara, could you maybe just give us a brief history of the Poor People's Campaign?
Hello, how are you? I'm so glad to be with you this evening. The Poor People's Campaign, the original Poor People's Campaign, was something that Martin Luther King was organizing and was very much committed to starting in 67 and going into 68. This is what he was working on at the time that he was assassinated on April 4th of 1968. And he had gotten to the place of understanding and seeing that it wasn't going to be just enough to topple white supremacy in order for black people in particular to have their rights and to have access to opportunity and to a decent life, because of poverty, because of capitalism and greed, because of militarism. The war in Vietnam was at full force at that time, and a lot of the resources of the nation were being poured into that war. And then, of course, racism, which was initially what motivated him in his quest for social justice. So the Poor People's Campaign, one of the differences and one of the things that was so innovative at the time is that people of different backgrounds were included from the very beginning. Indigenous people and Latinos, people from the Mexican-American movement, etc. So that was really innovative.
Would you say the modern campaign is different from that campaign in 68?
Yes, it is. Well, because so much has happened since that period, and that's one of the things that our program tomorrow, our event tomorrow, reflects, the fact that there's been such a strong feminist movement starting in the late 60s and thereafter, the fact that women's issues are so at the forefront today. Many things have happened in the intervening periods, including reactions and repression to the gains of the civil rights movement. One of the things that's different is that we have another issue that we are focusing on, and that is environmental devastation. And we also say this is not a commemoration of the Poor People's Campaign. It's a continuation. So, yes, a lot of things have changed in 50 years. But one of the things that hasn't changed is the level of poverty in the richest nation on the globe. There is actually more poverty. More people are poor than were in 1968. The minimum wage in 1968 is higher than the minimum wage now if you compare it in current dollars to $68 and make them comparable. You see that the minimum wage was actually higher in 1968, and thus we have the fight for 15. I think the coalition effort that characterized the original Poor People's Campaign is something that also very much characterizes this one.
I'm going to come back and ask you a question about the upcoming event, but you know, one of the things I'm sort of, you know, curious about is that when Martin Luther King, you know, began to expand his agenda, and you know, tie the movement for civil rights and opposition to racism to also the fight towards economic injustice and the fight against, you know, militarism, the drive for war, you know, shortly thereafter, you know, he was assassinated, and you know, suddenly he was no longer the beloved icon of certain parts of the community, or the power establishment, I should say. Has, you know, that transformation that took place at the, you know, latter part of Martin Luther King's, you know, career, has that informed what the work is of the new Poor People's Campaign?
Are you talking about the issues, or are you talking, you mentioned the issue of his popularity, so I'm not sure which one you were referring to.
More about the issues.
Yes, well, certainly, because the three issues that he focused upon and that the original Poor People's Campaign focused upon were poverty, racism, and militarism. And those are the same three that we're focusing on now with the addition of environmental devastation. So, yes, there's definitely a through line. And we learn a lot from the history of the organizing of that campaign, too. But as I said, with all the intervening years of struggles, we also bring that into our organizing and into our priorities.
So you're having this event on Thursday night, the 15th, the Poor People's Campaign, Women in Poverty, Women in Leadership. Can you maybe outline what will take place on Thursday night?
Well, we have several, I hope, very appealing things for people. We're so happy to be doing this in Troy. We have Taina Asili, who will be opening with song and closing with song. And we also will have a short video of the national campaign. This is a national organizing effort, which is unlike anything I've been involved in, because it is grassroots. It has a commitment. The Poor People's Campaign has a commitment to having the leadership and the involvement of those who are most affected by the four evils, the four issues that we have been talking about this evening. So we'll have, as I said, Reverend William Barber, who many people may have heard of in relationship to Moral Mondays. Reverend William Barber is the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign with Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris. So we'll have, as I said, a video. I'm actually going to be doing a short presentation about the history of women in the civil rights movement. And then we'll have a panel discussion of a great group of women talking about their experiences and how they relate to the major concerns of the Poor People's Campaign. And there'll also, of course, be a chance for people to learn more about the campaign and to get involved.
Now, you mentioned that this is a national campaign. I'm curious about whether some of your advocacy points are focused at the state level, the local level, or the federal level. How do you balance those various?
Well, the plan is there are probably at least 35 states where Poor People's Campaign organizing is taking place. So that's the majority of the states in the nation. There are organizing efforts similar to the one in New York State. I'm on the coordinating committee for New York State. We also have a steering committee that brings in more people representing organizations around the state. But as I said, something similar is happening in at least 35 states. We are going toward 40 days of nonviolent civil disobedience, moral witness, and that will take place, that is taking place primarily at state capitals around the nation. Not so much because the state legislatures are there, but because if you're going to pick a city for our, you know, in our country and have it be parallel, then picking the capitals makes a lot of sense as opposed to just picking cities randomly. There's also organizing going on in rural areas, too, including in rural New York State. But as I said, there will be 40 days of nonviolent civil disobedience, and then we will continue. That is not the end of our efforts. We want people to pay attention to the fact that there is so much poverty in the United States, and there's such income inequality in the United States. This is the beginning of what we see as a very vibrant movement.
Unfortunately, Barbara, we're out of time, and so we thank you very much for talking with us today.
And I hope that you'll tell people, again, direct people to what time it is, where it is, and when.
Oh, we'll do that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, that was Barbara Smith. She was talking about the Poor People's Campaign entitled Women in Poverty, Women in Leadership. The program will take place this Thursday, the 15th, at the First Presbyterian Church in Troy.